Welcome to Women in Podcasting. We're jumping in. So I'm going to read a brief intro. And for everybody joining us here today, this is our second panel of the day, Women in Podcasting. So welcome, everyone, to How to Start a Podcast Live and this special live stream session, Women in Podcasting, with Jess Kupferman and Elsie Escobar of She Podcasts, a pioneer in podcasting that has created a community known for empowering and supporting women and non-binary podcasters across the world. This session will dive into women in podcasting, balancing business and family, and making sure women get an equal slice of a rapidly growing pie as podcasting is growing exponentially. For those of you who may be joining us for the first time, How to Start a Podcast Live is a live streamed event with sessions just like this one featuring top podcasters and podcasting experts from around the world together here on our live stream platform, Podbean Live, as we dive into production, promotion, editing, audience growth, live streaming, and more. You can replay any of the panels on the How to Start a Podcast Live Podbean podcast channel here on Podbean and download the Podbean app and follow the channel to receive notifications in real time about all of the live streams and replays from the week. Feel free to post any questions to our experts during this session in the chat box of our live stream. We do ask that you keep it on topic for this session, and that if you have any questions for the team at Podbean or about the platform, send those by email to support@podbean.com. How to Start a Podcast Live is brought to you by Podbean. We're a podcast hosting and monetizing platform and home to over 500,000 podcasts. And you can easily start a podcast at podbean.com or from our app within minutes. We offer something for every podcaster and show, with options ranging from a free account to multiple show hosting to our enterprise platform for businesses and various podcast creation, monetization, and engagement tools. Head over to podbean.com to start your podcast today. And if you use the code PODNOW, you'll get your first 30 days free. That's PODNOW to get your first 30 days of hosting for free. If you haven't registered yet, you'll want to make sure you do at podcastweek.live/start. That's podcastweek.live/start, as we've teamed up with our friends at Shure, and we'll be giving away a Shure MV7 microphone to one of our registered attendees on our last session of the event, Live Streaming Your Podcast, which is tomorrow on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And now we're going to hand it off to Jess and Elsie as Women in Podcasting begins. Hello and welcome.
Thank you.
Hello.
Yay. How about this, Jess?
Pretty neat.
Pretty neato.
We've never done anything like this before, but I like it.
Yeah. So it's like we have a bonus episode of our show.
Kind of. Only it's a specific topic and nothing that we can just run off and do what we want to do. So it's all right.
Yep. So you want to take it? You want to introduce us a little bit or...
Absolutely. So Elsie is a community manager for Libsyn, the very large podcasting hosting company, and she has been podcasting, I believe, since 2004.
2006.
Why do I always say that?
Like extra days, years in there that I just,
I'm so sorry. She has been podcasting since 2006. She had started a show called Elsie's Yoga Class, which was just her recording herself as she did, taught a yoga class. And actually, it still gets like millions of downloads, doesn't it? Per year, per month, something like that.
Dude, not millions. I do get downloads. I haven't touched it for a while, but yes, it does. It's still doing its thing all on its own. Hundreds a day.
Millions and millions.
Not millions and millions. Not millions and millions.
And then I am Jessica Kupferman, and I have had a show since 2013. It was a show called Lady Business Radio, which was one of the first women's entrepreneurial interview shows. Elsie and I sort of met various places on the interweb, but then decided to start this group after we had done a conference and really enjoyed the camaraderie of the women that were there that were also podcasters. So Then at the time, most of the consultants, at least the ones that you saw, were men, specifically white men, but men nonetheless. And a lot of their shows were entrepreneurial. So for people getting into the podcasting space in 2013, 2014, the main ones people talked about were, Entrepreneur on Fire or Amy Porterfield's. She's not a dude, obviously. Derek Halpern, Lewis Howes. What's his name with the show to the top? David, what's his name? Can't remember his name. But anyway, David something something. And they were all, sort of interviewing each other and on each other's shows. I know that there were other podcasts out there, but these were the ones, the entrepreneurial ones were the ones I feel like were getting the most attention back then. You know, 2 years later, Serial would come around and then they would be not non-existent, but they certainly wouldn't be like the creme de la creme of podcasting, which I don't think was a fair compartment for them to be put in anyway, because there have been so many people who have been podcasting for so long. At the time, I remember I had created a course about podcasting for women called Podcasting School for Women. Very creative. And and I had asked Elsie to teach it with me, and she had gotten me some really interesting statistics about how women made up only 15% of all the podcasters out there, which would make sense because when you looked at like the top 50 and 100 shows in all these different categories, I mean, there was like one or two done by women and mostly they were all men. So in addition to wanting the camaraderie and advice of each other, I think both Elsie and I felt like that was too small a number of women who were getting their messages out, that, you know, people probably would like to hear from women, all different women, about all different subjects, including podcasting. I think to this day, and I could be wrong, we have the only podcasting show about podcasting, the only podcast from women, not, mm-hmm. you know, like there's others, but I believe ours is the only one done by women. I could be wrong.
No, dude, there's many, many, many of them. At that time, though, it was just us. Now there's a lot. I'm so excited to know that there's so many women that are that have podcasts about podcasting.
I had no idea.
For sure. But at the time when we started, we were like literally the only ones.
Yeah.
Doing that. And I think that that's why we started doing that, because
There were no others.
There were no others. And it was just the same voices all over, which was great. You know, there's a lot of men who are pioneers in terms of the podcasting space, but they were still the ones that were podcasting.
We have this obligation to be very political, because those men are our friends and colleagues. So when we say like there were no one else was doing it, it was all men. I love that Elsie and I both are like, which is fine, which is great. You know, like, that's our version of like, not that there's anything wrong with it, right? Like there's not, we have to keep putting that in there because we don't want our male friends and colleagues to be upset that we were like, and it was terrible and we were all oppressed. That's not true. It's just that, you know, some other voices we thought would be helpful.
Right.
I just wanted to clarify that we're not being like flippant.
Yeah. And for the, you know, when it came to like podcasting about podcasting and women at that time, even when Jess and I started to doing our thing together, and the data that had been released at that time, even prior to 2014 and even just slightly after 2014, there wasn't really any kind of cohesive information around women who were leading their podcasts, meaning that they were either the host of the show or whether they were co-hosted or anything like that, because there really is no way to be able to gather that information in post, if you will, like after the show has been created. And even if you happen to, let's say, index all of the shows in, let's say, Apple Podcasts, and you look in there and you start to pull that information, you really have to do it essentially by hand, because there's no delineation. You don't put that in your RSS feed, right? You don't just go like, I am a woman, I am a non-binary, I am man. You don't do that. You just do your show.
You should.
And there's a lot of times when nowadays, especially, there are teens involved. So maybe the hosts are male, but maybe the production team is all female, or there is more diversity behind the scenes. So at this point in time, there hasn't been any kind of new data that has can give you a real sense of what's out there. But I can tell you that given the growth of our own Facebook group, which is all women and non-binary, which is kind of amazing that we're nearing now just with that to 20,000 people in that group, mm-hmm. which is, yeah. to me is astounding. And given that, it reflects to me that there are by far a lot more women-led podcasts out there for sure. So we are here. We are, I believe, closer to parity when it comes to production of shows out there, that there isn't a lack of women getting behind the mic. But we're going to discuss this later on as to what we can do and why it might be perceived as if there aren't as many of us out there. But it's later on in the conversation as we do that. But Jess, how about we talk about, you know, a little bit about our show, and what it gave us, because I think that that's a really unique conversation, particularly in the podcasting space, of how and what it has meant to us as women.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, we didn't have the show right away. The idea, and I mean, my idea anyway, was just to have the group. And, it never occurred to me to do a podcast because, well, frankly, I'm not a pod. I mean, I still will stand by this statement. I'm not a podcasting like guru. I mean, I only was teaching the podcasting that I knew, which was the bare minimum in order to put a podcast together. So, it's very humorous when people say I'm some kind of podcasting guru. I am not. I am a sales and marketing and branding. I don't even like the word guru. Let's say consultant, but that's not my
boss. She's amazing.
Yeah, but I'm not a pod. I'm not an amazing podcaster by any stretch. So, Elsie came to me after, you know, shortly after we started the group and said, "I've always wanted to do a show about podcasting for women. Would you like to do it with me?" And I said, "Sure, that sounds good," because I did know her outside of this group and outside of podcasting. I had met her a couple years prior in an online like course where the community around the course was very, very tight. So I knew of her. I knew, you know, that we probably had similar work ethic and similar core values. And so I thought it would be, I mean, I wasn't thinking about a business per se then, just that we would do a podcast and it would be fantastic. So I said, yes, of course. But you can tell in our first episode that we're both really excited, but aren't sure how it's going to go, right? Because we're like, hi, how are you? Are you excited? I'm excited. Like, it's like an overemphasis on enthusiasm and a lack of specific topic because we really didn't know what to say, only that we wanted to do it a lot, that we thought it was important, and that, you know, we were just going to like figure it out as it went. So as I recall, we put together like some very basic like show notes, like why should women podcast and who are women podcasters and what's the difference between women and men podcasting, stuff that you can only cover so many times before you're just repeating yourself. So over time, our show has evolved into us discussing relevant events in the industry and in tech, non-specifically, and then just sort of offering our opinion on why we think it's good or not good. But I mean, it sort of begins this whole topic about why she podcasts and why, you know, why women in podcasting and even the topic itself is important. Why does it keep being brought up? So when we started the show, we didn't really know each other, but we've become best friends. I mean, yes, we've done it 6 years, but I don't think it took that long, at least not for me. We became very close very quickly. We've only done it once a week. It's not like we don't live close to each other. We don't live even similarly to each other. Like our lifestyles and the way that we live and the way that we, you know, grow our families and interact with other people, all of that is very different. But we are kind of a great example and proof that like podcasters all have one major thing in common, and that is that they really like talking about something and they want other people to, hear what they say and also think that, you know, that their topic is, you know, I don't know. I think I'm losing my train of thought here. You know, the podcasters have one thing in common, and that thing is liking a topic. You don't have to be the same to talk about stuff. I mean, and even if you go to a podcast conference, which maybe we'll get to later, like, you know, even the co-ed ones, like I remember sitting in the first keynote of the first podcast conference and hearing, I think it was Cliff Ravenscraft, talk about the impact that you make on your listeners. He talked about, you know, getting checks from people and having people write him and say, you know, this made such a difference to me today. And I so appreciate that. And like, I mean, that's what podcasting is. It's helping people with your, regardless of what, whether it's your humor, or your knowledge, your interview skills, whatever it is.
Yeah, one thing that I feel podcasting has given both of us to some degree as an extra bonus feature of being together for so long now is the fact that it really was able to help us live our lives and find a sense of stability within all the chaotic things that were going on in our lives. Mm. I feel that to some degree as women, it really helped us navigate being new moms. And I know that not all women out there are going to have children. There's a lot of transitional, you know, everybody goes through transitions, but I was really, really blessed to have been able to go through the process of raising my children and having so many moves in my life and having to switch where I was living and changing different into different places. And both of us have had things came up in our lives. And the one thing that kept us steady was really doing our show. We continued doing our show.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because I do remember I did get pregnant right around the time we started She Podcasts. And so, yeah, like by Christmas, I mean, I had Isaac that November. And I remember in January coming back, you know, and Elsie was like so desperate for me to come back because it had been like 5 or 6 weeks. And I remember like those first couple of weeks, like I would get online and do the show. And then not think about anything else again for a week. Like, because when you first have a baby, you know, you're exhausted and you're not sleeping and stuff. But like, it didn't just keep me accountable. It kept me in a world that didn't have to do with taking care of a baby. And I think that was something, whether you realize it or not, I think that's something that you really need. I really needed someone to talk to me like I was an adult about adult things and career and stuff I was smart about. Yep. Because I didn't feel very smart or even very sharp during those time periods. And I mean, again, that's something I'd love to go back and hear myself. Like, how terrible was I like during the time or the first? What I just remember another very enthusiastic Elsie Escobar was the was the episode where I came back from having a baby.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, was she happy.
Well, yeah, because there was always that thing. To me, it was a touch point to be able to speak with you in the same vein that you're talking about where you just had a baby. I was also dealing with a couple of little kids. And I was also in the same position where I didn't really have any grown-up conversations with anyone around me. Mm-hmm. I was completely isolated and you were literally my lifeline. So I think that there is something to be said about how that has helped. So regardless mm-hmm. of whether or not She Podcasts would have become what it has become now, it gave us something already. The gift of podcasting as women together was able to help us navigate through all of these things and given us a sense of accountability, a sense of relief. And it, to me, it also gives me a sense of happiness when I'm feeling really, I don't know, upset over something that's going on in my life or in the world or whatever's happening at work or anything like that, being able to come behind the mic and know that I have her and we get a chance to chat really gives me a sense of relief. It gives me happiness. And when I'm done, I'm changed. I'm shifted somehow. I've let go Aww. Of something. So I'm always feeling that strength. Now, given that, though, there is a difference, though, Jess. Do you feel, and I feel that we often talk about this, and the reason that we're talking about the lifestyle aspect of it is because we do feel that fundamentally for women to podcast, there's another layer that is almost never talked about in the how to podcast coaching or courses or anything like that. And it's why She Podcasts Live, which is our conference, we really drive with it being an experience, is that there's a difference in podcasting as a woman, generally speaking, because we have a lot more things to juggle to be able to get behind the microphone.
It's true. That's very true.
You know? And it's like being able to, I know when I first started podcasting back in the day, most of the time, the majority of the podcasting, at least from the folks that I was listening to at that time, was happening early in the morning or late night, somewhere between, 11 o'clock, 11 p.m., 10 p.m., into the early hours of the morning, because that's when the guys would go to their special studio and record their show quietly while the family slept. And that just was not ever a thing I did, nor was it part of my lifestyle. Even there was no way. And there's still now, just now, how many years have I been podcast? Like almost 15 years into this, I now have an actual studio where I can close my door and say, Mama's going to record. Everybody leave me alone. 15 years later.
Interesting.
So I think that lifestyle for us is a little bit different. We have to figure things out in different ways. I believe anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely true. We don't have the luxury of just doing what we want and handing the kids to someone else. And I'm not saying that every man does have that, but it just seemed like, it seems to me like it's easier for men to just make a little studio in their basement and look busy. You know, men are really good at looking busy, and women don't question if they're busy or if they're busy.
But hey,
everything they do is busy and important, right? And I mean, and I don't mean to bat. I mean, I just would like a disclaimer before everything I say, indicating that I don't want to bash men. It's just my observation. Take it for what it's worth, good or bad, painful to hear or not. I can't be in control of everyone's feelings. All I know is, I know that a lot of women podcast in their closet, under their coats, all these different places. I've very rarely heard of men that do that, that need to do that.
Yeah, but you, in the same sense that we are, because our experience in the world is as cis women who happen to have a partner who have children. At the same time, though, women are also not a monolith. There are many of us who don't want kids. There are many of us who, are doing different, completely different things. Mm-hmm. But I feel that there are some things that do, at least culturally speaking, we aren't really given the tools even early on to be comfortable around a lot of what happens in podcasting, a lot of the technology that we use, a lot of about the microphones and the editing aspects of it. And there's just another layer of information that isn't something that, for the most part, at least when I was growing up, I think it might be changing now, because even with my children in the house, they have been exposed to their mama with all of the microphones and all of the recording things, and I've had them sit down and record themselves. So they do have that sense. They get that. So maybe now it's not going to be like that. But at the same rate, there is a lot of uncomfortableness, I think, with a lot of women who start podcasting, who is like, what even is, like, how do you get good sound? How do you record that thing? There is no, I don't know, balance, I guess, in their life when they were growing up with that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the next section that we are meant to talk about here is balancing business and family. And right now it brings up all those interviews with Scarlett Johansson, where she was sitting with her co-stars in, I think it's Avengers, right? Because it's like Chris Hemsworth, it's like Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, and they all get these questions about, the philosophy.
Oh no.
Scarlett Johansson, and say, wow, that cat suit was like really tight. What kind of underwear did you wear under there? And I, and I feel like, you know, and I saw all these interviews that she did where she was either asked about her underwear, asked about how she balances family, and, you know, and she would call them out every single time. How come none of the men are asked how they balance family and business, or business and work, or family and anything else? Like, she was the only one getting asked. And I can imagine that that's exhausting. So, I was thinking, you know, like, how do we balance business and family? Like, it's different for both of us. It's different for every woman, just like it's different for every man. Like, there's only so much you are allowed to do or not do in every family unit. I mean, when I started podcasting, how I was balancing it was a lot different than how I do now, because my husband was working full time and I worked from home full time. And, you know, whoever works from home is sort of defaults into the person who gets to take care of all the other things. But now, you know, we both work from home, but I have a little bit more, I guess, responsibility in my job than him. So he now takes care of more of the family stuff. And I think balancing family and anything changes and requires a lot of work and communication and strategic thought as to who has the most important stuff they need to do versus, you know, who doesn't, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, if I don't work, will we starve, versus if you don't work, will we starve? And that's the winner, I think. You know, what do you think, Elsie?
No, it's true. I think that it's true that you have to make those decisions for sure. And to take that to another, to a different aspect of that question is what I was talking about before, that it's, you know, it'd been 15 years until I was able to get my studio up. And I'm only bringing that up because I had to make decisions about the kind of gear that I was using for many years. Mm-hmm. That was really based on my actual life versus the best microphone out there or the best setup out there that you're hearing about. So if you start to hear about a very specific microphone that you feel is going to be the thing that solves all your podcasting problems and make you sound like an amazing person, it really can only do that if your lifestyle supports that type of gear in your life. Because if it requires a lot more setup to be able to get it out, and it has to be pristine and it has to be like this, and you need to have the stick and you have to have it hanging and it can't do this and you have to be in this room, then you're not going to podcast. Right. And so you have to also be able to adjust it and be able to go like, wow, I get an opportunity to go record and sound really great using this setup right now, because these are my boundaries. This is what I have to deal with today. And I think that, you know, through the part of us together, Jess, having to deal with all of these things, because my life is chaotic. My life has always taken us to places where you can't really record. Like, even our latest episode that is actually going out at some point today or maybe tomorrow, I recorded it outside in the city. Like, I had to find a space that had like Wi-Fi, and I had my microphone and we recorded together, and I had to have a very specific microphone that I was using at that time so that I would get the best sound, and we test things out and our producer helps us out with all of that stuff. But because sometimes in order for the show to go, you have to adjust. And yeah, we've been able to do that. And I feel that that flexibility is the thing that has kept us going for so long.
Yeah.
But so what do you think we move on to, like, how to make sure that there are more women's voices that are heard out there? Because having said at the beginning of the show that there, I do feel that we are very close to parity in terms of producers out there, podcasters that are women out there.
What do you mean parity?
Parity meaning 50-50.
That's not parity.
Parity in terms of numbers, dude.
P-A-I-R-I-T-Y?
Dude.
Is that the one you mean?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the condition of being equal. I'm asking because you keep saying we're a parody, which means, like, a joke.
No, parody. What you just said. Yes, the state or condition of being equal.
Oh, you and your big words. Okay, parody. Yeah. Can't you just say equal? What the frick? Oh my God. Okay. So Elsie thinks we're reaching a state of parody, which yes. Now I know is true, but the way I mean it, not the way she means it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that we, I mean, yes, I definitely think that it's equal, that there are equally amount of men and women that are podcasting, or, you know, I think that's a good thing.
But this, how to make sure that we keep on doing that. So we're going to address it from two separate places. One of us is that we're going to address it from as podcasters. How do we keep more diverse voices coming into the space? How do we do that? And the second part is that we're going to address it from the perspective of industry. What does the industry, the podcasting industry, need to do in order for there to be more of a reflection of the reality of the podcasting space?
I mean, what can the industry do
go ahead and focus on the what from us. Like, just from us, what are those things okay. that keep women from podcasting?
I mean, I've always thought the barriers to entry for women are as such. They are worried they don't have time to do it or do it properly, because why do something half-assed? They are worried that they won't be able to understand the tech and it will get very frustrating. And then it goes back to, I don't have the time to understand the tech, so forget it. I think women worry about how people will respond to what they have to say, whether or not they'll be judged, whether or not they'll get in some kind of trouble from someone. This is probably more apt to comedians or, you know, like I know people that were afraid to use their regular names because of their, you know, because they're trying to be funny or make a really sort of touchy point, a political point. Fear of not knowing what to say, that you want to, you know, to have a podcast and you want to start speaking, but you have so much to say, you don't know where to start, or you think no one's going to give a crap about what you have to say, like, because you're no different than anyone else and blah, 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 blah. Insert self-criticism here. So yeah, I mean, those are the things that I think have always been going on with women. And actually, I'm just now realizing, like, aren't those the barriers to entry for what women do all the time? Like, they, you know, I don't have time. No one's going to want to hear, you know, I won't be good enough. Someone will tell me I'm terrible, et cetera. So the question of what we have to do to make sure those people, you know, those barriers are eliminated, in my opinion, it, for us, is to keep our support group free and to keep it kosher as far as like what people are allowed to do in there and not do in there. Make sure that it's very supportive. Make sure that it's a judgment-free zone, that people can ask questions in there. You know, we try to eliminate over and over and over questions, but still have, you know, the ability to answer the brand new person who's just entering that group. I think that's really important. I think being able to ask questions and be reassured is probably the most important thing for women in order to start and continue podcasting.
Yes. And there's something to be said about having a woman be the one that guides you through it, because I really do love the tech of podcasting. I love to talk about the minutiae of it. I really love I've come to love all this stuff. I didn't come into it with this like love of it all. I learned to love it because I got my hands really dirty and I had supportive people around me that kind of helped me. And I did a lot of the learning in a silo, meaning that I just read a lot. I watched a lot of videos and there weren't very many women helping me out. And now what I really love about our group is that there are so many women professionals out there that are helping other women podcast. And that, I feel, is the most important thing, to be able to learn from somebody who it feels comfortable to you to ask kind of what you might feel are really stupid questions, because that is the scariest part. It's the scariest part about not knowing what that little knob does, not knowing what the difference is between this and that, not knowing all of the technical stuff that you kind of like just nod yourself. You nod and then you smile and you have no idea what the answer was that somebody gave you, even though it might be the right answer, but you don't even know what it is. Being in a space where you can learn from other women and you can definitely say like, I have no idea what you're saying. And then
I know there are words and I understand English, but right. Those words together make no sense.
Exactly. To be able to just do that and then have them go like, oh, okay, here, hold on. Let me just, and then they can just explain it to you. And what's so amazing about at least my experience in our group and the way that the community as a whole in terms of women in podcasting has really evolved is that there is that sense of, oh, okay, let me go ahead and explain it this way. And then you get another opportunity to do that. And you always get something like, in my experience, this is what's helped me versus what I had experienced in the past. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jess, which usually we get like the law. It's like, don't do it that way. Do it like this. This is the way to do it.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I will give you a perfect example of this. Last night, my mother-in-law decided to drive herself to Washington, D.C., which is about 2.5 hours. She does not know how to work her phone. She does not know how to work her GPS. We set her up on Waze and off she went. So about an hour in, it's dark. And she keeps saying, you know, and I hear her on the phone with Scott and he's like, just open Waze. Just, you know, he's like kind of repeating himself and asking, you know, what do you mean you don't know where it is? What do you mean you lost it? Like, and so I was like, okay, you put Isaac to bed. I'm going to do this. So I take the phone. And I don't know if this is just a woman, man. I mean, I feel like it is based on what you're saying. I take the phone and I show her a quicker way, right? She's got the address and the message. So I say, click on the address. It'll immediately open apps. Every time you lose it, that's where you go. I've messaged you the address. Click it and it'll open apps. And then, you know, I showed her where to find the details and stuff too. And then she would say, I'm never going to get there. I'm not getting there till midnight. And I was like, you are going to get there. This is not as hard as it feels. You just have to follow the directions on the thing. Because she kept saying, I don't know where I am. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you drove somewhere you're not familiar with. You're not supposed to know where you are. Just follow the directions. But I think for Scott to be like, you know, doing what you were saying, what's wrong with you? It's right there. It's not that hard. Like, it sort of makes you feel like, well, forget it. Never mind. It's, you know, if this person is not, obviously I'm too stupid to figure it out, but she's not, right? You just need a different way to find things, a shortcut, an easier way. And then someone telling you, you know, your fear is valid, but it's okay. You don't need to know where you are. You just need to follow the directions. It will take you there.
Yep.
You know? And I mean, you know, that's her son, right? It's not like he was being hateful or disrespectful or anything. He just was frustrated and didn't know how to tell her other than what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to open ways and follow the direction. It's supposed to talk to you. Well, it wasn't. So anyway, I mean, that's just an example. Like, I just think there's a fundamental difference between telling someone what they're supposed to do over and over and over again, like you said, or telling someone, hey, here's a shortcut. Here's a way that I remember it. And by the way, this doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means you've never done it before.
Right.
You know, that's what I think women do when they teach other women. And I don't know that men have even thought that far ahead to know how to do that for women, you know, would they?
Yeah. But at the same time, though, that's really it, I think, for us in terms of women in podcasting, to continue to support each other, because we've all now started to evolve the entire space. We are having the influence because we are teaching other women and we have found new ways to do things that actually work for the things that we're building.
Yeah.
Therefore, I think that naturally the space is evolving because more of us are doing the thing. And we are now able to look at maybe how to podcast stuff and go like, wow, that's a really neat way of doing it, but it doesn't work for me. This is what I've done. And that also really works. And
yeah.
So there's a sense of like, okay, I don't have to just have to do it this way. And it's super, super inspiring to see all of that stuff. Now, when it comes to the industry, Jessica, what do you think the podcasting industry can do to help more visibility for all of the women that are out there already podcasting?
LCL. I mean, the first thing I think of, and it's a shame that not more men are going to listen to me say this, because this is a content about women in podcasting, and as a man, they would think, well, how could this be relevant to me? But here we go. It is, and here's why. Because a lot of men in our industry and the world think that because they're not sexist or racist or homophobic or whatever, that they don't have to worry about it. They don't need to show up to the, you know, to the content like this one. They don't have to go to the conference. They don't have to go out of their way because they know they're not the villain, the bad guy, and therefore they have nothing to learn and everything is peachy. But that is proving over and over and over not to be the case. And in our industry, it's unfortunate that you know, like, there are men in our industry who work for large companies and corporations who are asked to speak over and over and over again. And yes, they may be asked to speak because they have those positions in their companies, but they are completely bypassing and not even considering the fact that there are other members of the world that can speak to this that whatever particular topic they've been asked to speak about. And that it would be nice if they could say, hey, you know who's really good at talking about this? Elsie. Or you know who's also an expert at this that hasn't really gotten the chance to, I mean, you don't even have to go that far. Just say, you know what, I'd love to speak, but there's a woman, you know, there's a woman I'd love you to, you know, to ask instead. One time. It will not hurt your credibility. It will not create any type of situation where your career is going down a slippery slope. All you have to do is just recommend someone else and be quiet one time. If every man in our industry did it one time, then I think women would have, you know, would feel like they have a little bit more of a leg up, a place to stand, more of an opportunity to look and feel and be podcasting consultants and influencers. You know, and I still think that Elsie, you and I mean, you're not as much as me, but I still, like, Elsie, you're asked to speak on stuff like a pretty good amount. Like, I think you're asked to speak a lot, and you, you know, and that's, and most likely that is also a result of, well, besides being brilliant, working at Libsyn, etc. But I think that men need to make sure that they don't say yes to speaking gigs unless they look and see that there are either an equal amount of women or people of color or LGBTQ or all three. If they don't do it, it's just never going to get done because they're the ones that are asked the most often. It'll just never be done. They have to start thinking about it and making it a priority for themselves, even if they think it doesn't apply. What else, my dear?
No, I think that there is a term for that as well, for especially in terms of leadership. So it really begins from the demand from the people who are the everyday podcasters, all of us that are looking to see ourselves on stage, all of us that are looking to hear from new voices or innovative voices out there. It really is up for us to demand that whenever we see that there is no parity reflected to you from the stage or from whatever leadership place you see it. It is part of your onus to be able to ask for that, because those podcasters are fairly equal now. There is that, again, I'm saying parity on there. So therefore there needs to be that representation. That's step one. And the second step is for those that are in those positions of leadership that go beyond even those that are asked to speak.
Yeah, women are not women. Men are not men.
Yeah, everybody that is in that position, you know, of leadership within a company, you know, boards of directors, or anybody who isn't asked to speak, to be able to, whenever you are getting events together, whenever you are getting your board of directors together, whenever you do have an ask for voices to be represented in an article, or you need a quote from somebody, right? I think you all had a session here about podcasting, what do you call it? Media people, right? The one, like the journalists and stuff like that. There needs to be a way for those folks to also get diverse experiences out there. It's not just the same people that you need to keep asking all the time. There are all kinds of folks out there. And the more that we can get behind each other, especially in leadership positions, to give other people a chance to be able to go on stage. And here's the other thing, and this is, and I'm sure maybe there's a lot of folks that are listening right now that are not in a leadership position, but this is something for you to maybe share with them if you ever come across them, or maybe, who knows, somebody will hear. But you also need to back these people up, meaning if you believe in somebody, if you think that they are incredible, you back them up and you say, they're taking my spot. I believe in them. They are an incredible superstar. You talk about them whenever you're interviewed. You offer them up all the time and say, like, you should definitely talk to so-and-so. She's an incredible talent when it comes to these things. And continue to bring them forward. That's part of you using your own clout and your own the space that you've already claimed and start to pass it off, because that it's not going to happen if you don't do things like that. So in terms of the industry, those are the other things that we need to really do here. More about that aspect of it.
Yeah, I totally agree. No, I totally agree. I think that's absolutely true. And then also, since we're looking at sponsors right now for our event, let's go ahead and talk about sponsorship, right? Yep. Because you can talk all day about supporting women and people of color and those who are LGBTQ. But if you only sponsor the shows that cater to everyone and not the shows that cater to those specific people and making sure that those voices are heard, then your initiative sort of like goes to waste. You know, sponsorship is the act of using one's social capital to propel the career advancement of an individual who is commonly referred to as a protege. That's very interesting. Where did you get that, Elsie? Let's see.
The link is at the bottom. But there's two different kinds of sponsorship, but just stick to the one that you were talking about, Jess. About putting your money in the way. Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
No. That you continue on the path of being able to speak as to sponsorship, that being able to bring actual capital to support women-run or women-led businesses and organizations around. So you do it that way. You support it with your cash. You support it with that because it's reflective. If, like, let's say you don't have very much representation in your business, or you don't have as many women working for you as you'd like in any of that capacity, being able to support those that can and are serving that market is one way in which you can bring parity, particularly in the podcasting space.
And you don't have to be a big business. You can just buy a ticket and attend. That
exactly.
is helpful as well.
Yep.
And why is it important? Because women deserve to have their own space to learn, because women and non-binary people deserve to have the content that's catered to their specific needs, because women deserve to see and hear speakers and influencers that are inspiring to them. And all of those things cost money. The venue costs money. Taking care of them, making sure that they're fed costs money. But having influencers there to talk about their story, I mean, all of that costs money. And when, niche sponsorships, niche events, niche shows, niche people, they all need money in order to help the people that you're claiming, you know, is on your list of people that are important to help. That Elsie could not have said it better. That vote could not be better shown than with cash. And if that means buying a ticket and giving it to someone else, if it means buying a ticket and showing up yourself so you can learn why there needs to be a difference between a women's, you know, conference and every other conference, you know, then do it. Then go. Sponsor someone else to go. Pay for someone else's, you know, thing to go. Buy, you know, get a booth with your company and meet the women in this community without being distracted by all the other people in this community. Meet the women. Find out what, you know, I think when you're in a group with all, you know, when you're in a conference with all, you know, women, you start to see patterns about what their shows are about and what they're trying to do and what their dreams and aspirations are. And if that's an important individual for you to help I don't want to say promote, because that's not the right word, to help push forward, then this is the best way to do it. And this is not a pitch. It's just a point, right? It's just a point, because our industry is still very male dominated, period. And it's not that we don't want that. It's just that we want, I think we want our community to have an equal opportunity to excel. And that's what we try to provide with everything we do, with our membership, with our event, with our free community. We are trying to give our community an equal opportunity to excel. Get rid of all those barriers. Get rid of everything that intimidates you. Get rid of all the reasons why you don't think it's a good idea to go to other things. It's too big. It's too, you know, whatever. This is something that's not those things, where you can learn how to be a podcasting bad mama jamma if you want. The end. I'm done talking now. Go ahead, Elsie.
The end. Sorry, this is Norma Jean from the Podbean team. I'm going to jump in because we're almost out of time.
Yeah. Sorry, Norma.
It just, sorry, Norma. No, absolutely. It went by so quickly. And we just wanted to thank you both so much for coming on. I mean, I think the topics that you guys covered, from sponsorship to, you know, the fact that, you know, recording in your closet, to giving yourself time, to just going forward and doing it. So thank you both so much. We're so excited about this panel. And for everyone who came late or missed part of it, you can listen to the replay. I'm going to read a brief outro, and then we'll jump on the next panel. I mean, we could just keep going for hours. You guys just have such a great rapport, and really, you know, in terms of supporting each other as women or as non-binary people, I think it's something where, you know, it's really about creating those opportunities and showing up. So it's just been really lovely to hear you guys talk about that. So thank you everyone for joining us for this live stream, Women in Podcasting, with Jess Kupferman and Elsie Escobar of She Podcasts. If you joined late or want to have another listen to these amazing podcasters and experts, you can replay this panel on the How to Start a Podcast Live channel. For those of you who may be joining us for the first time, How to Start a Podcast Live is a live streamed event with sessions like this one, featuring top podcasters and podcasting experts from around the world, together here on our live stream platform, Podbean Live, as we dive into production, promotion, editing, audience growth, live streaming, and more. You can replay any of the panels on the How to Start a Podcast Live podcast channel. Download the Podbean app and follow the channel to receive notifications in real time about all of the live streams and replays from the week. How to Start a Podcast Live is brought to you by Podbean. We're a podcast hosting and monetizing platform and home to over 500,000 podcasts. And you can easily start a podcast at podbean.com or from our app here within minutes. We offer something for every podcaster and show, with options ranging from a free account to multiple show hosting, to our enterprise platform for businesses, and various podcast creation, monetization, and engagement tools. Head over to podbean.com to start your podcast today. And if you use the code PODNOW, you'll get your first 30 days free. That's PODNOW to get your first 30 days of hosting for free. Stay tuned for one more live stream today, following this one, on news and podcasting and why you should care, with James Cridland of Pod News, starting next at 5 p.m. Eastern. And our last day of this event begins tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern time, with building your audience, the value of guests and guesting, and live streaming your podcast. We'll see you in a minute for the next session with James Cridland of Pod News. Thanks, podcasters. Thanks so much, Jess. Thanks, Elsie.
Thank you.
It's been such a pleasure.